Paul, would you do me a favor and give this to Carol? Carol. She loves talking in that thing, I know.
Speech.
Okay. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. I just want to encourage everybody here that your prayers are powerful. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you all to pray for a dear friend of mine that needed a miracle and an intervention in their life of big proportions. And that was on a Sunday. We all prayed. Well, I just found out that that very Sunday, your prayers were answered.
Praise the Lord.
And it was nothing short of a miracle. I mean, a miracle.
Mm.
Your prayers are powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
It was an unspoken request. I didn't say what the need was. I didn't say who it was. But I'm telling you, God intervened on behalf of your prayers.
Thank you.
As well as last Sunday. Those of you that were here realize a miracle took place last Sunday.
Mm.
So your prayers are powerful. Don't stop praying for people.
Amen.
And things that, you know, need to be done and whatever, their prayer, they're powerful. And I'd like to ask you if you'd keep us in your prayers, because we're not out of the woods totally here. But I know God is faithful, and he's going to see us through. And also, if you would keep Tila's mom in your prayers as well. She's in dire need of prayers as well. So God is good all the time.
Amen.
All the time. And God bless you all, because I felt such a feeling of family and love here in this place. Mm. I just was overwhelmed with the love and the feeling of family and closeness in this place. And some of you are relatively new, but I felt that love unanimously from all of you. So thank you all.
Praise God. Thank you, Carol. Your turn? Oh, boy. Here we go.
If you're here last Sunday, you know what happened. But I was thinking, you know, we had a Resurrection Sunday last Sunday.
Amen.
But I know it's not funny, but I like to thank everyone's prayers. And I thank Rhonda Solomon. She's like my angel.
Mm.
But, you know, when I was coming to, it was really a strange thing. I was like in a dark room. And when I first saw, all I could see was I could see Rhonda's face, but it was like it was at the back of the church, and I could see her. Her lips were moving, but I couldn't hear anything. And then it got closer and closer, and then I could hear. But you know, it was really, really something. I'd just like to thank everyone. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. While we're on that subject, I do want to thank everybody that was here. People that needed to do medical stuff did medical stuff. People that needed to pray did prayer. People that needed to move stuff and just logistically get the building ready for an ambulance to show up, they did their job. And everyone else just poured out love and concern. And so, again, I just want to thank everybody who was here. You know, I hesitated. I wasn't sure. Should I just dismiss everybody or whatnot? And we have had situations where somebody's passed out before, and then 15 minutes later, the ambulance here, they're gone, and we carry on with the service. Last week was not that. It was much more than that. But everybody did what they needed to do, and I so appreciate that. We've never really gone down an emergency breakdown. What do you do in case of emergency? But everybody responded in a way that was appropriate, and I'm so blessed by that, and thank you all for that. In the days to come, we probably will have some emergency response talks, just so that maybe we can do things a little more efficiently. But again, just thank you so much for the way that went last week, and thank you for coming back. It was quite the scenario, and there's two ways to look at it. You could say, well, I don't want to go to that church. They're just dropping like flies. Or you could say, I do want to go to that church because they raised the dead. Amen? So whatever the case may be, God bless you and thank you. Tila, please.
I just want to share this week visiting Mom every day and being in the hospital. We specifically have been praying for the church and a very special anointing on Pastor. We feel a very special anointing here in the church. That is why I no longer go to the church that I did belong to, and I'm back here full-time, and I'm very happy to say that I am.
Thank you, Jesus. And we're glad to have you, too.
Yes, and I will be taking your position soon. So,
oh, hey.
Just so you know that. I will be ready to be preaching again soon, but a lot longer than I did the first time. Anyways, Mom is praying for everyone, and she needs prayer, too, because she's recovering a lot slower than she used to. But specifically, she wanted me to, this morning, she wanted me to encourage everyone to pray specifically for Pastor, for a very special anointing on him. That the doors will be drawing more people in from Geneva, which is what we all need. And we believe it will happen, which is what you've been trying to do for years here. And she felt a very special anointing on you today, specifically. So we just encourage all of you to just keep your prayers for the church and for Pastor.
Praise God.
So, thank God.
Thank you, Tila.
Yeah.
Just to, please, I don't need any credit for what God does here. He gets all the glory, but what Tila said is something that I rely on. If my preaching, if my ministering, if whatever God does through me relies on your prayers, please pray for me. If somebody gets saved because I shared the gospel with them, you're all a part of that. It's because of your prayer. If God gives me an anointing to say something that's powerful and has an impact on your life, it's because of your prayers. And I so appreciate that, and I need that. I recognize my weakness. I recognize my own ignorance. I recognize my own lack of wisdom. And I covet your prayers, and I thank you so much for it. So please, listen to that. And I heard you, girl. I'll be watching my back. Couple quick announcements. This week is... would you like to share this? You want me to do this? This week, the 27th through the 29th, starting at 9 a.m. each morning at 3024 Seneca Boulevard. Everybody know where Seneca Boulevard is over in Border City there? That's right where the light is, where the burned area and the Servant Volunteer Fire Department is. July 27th through the 29th, the Bateses are hosting their annual yard sale where they take in donations and people buy the stuff that they take in, and they take that money, every nickel of it, and they give it to... provide water to families in rural places in the world, third world countries where there is no fresh water. And so it's an awesome event. The fund that's raised, again, goes to clean water filtration systems to poverty-stricken third world countries. And trust me, there's something for everybody because, they get donations from all over the place. They get stuff that some people just want to throw away, but they also get some stuff that people want to donate, which is like brand new. And so, I ask that you would support what they're doing. It's a missionary endeavor, what they do. This is, again, they work so hard throughout the year to you know, come up with the funds in order to provide these water systems to these poverty-stricken lands. And they keep nothing for themselves. They, believe me, they probably give financially out of their own pocket more than most of us ever would. But please, if you can, this week, from the 27th through the 29th, find yourself on Seneca Boulevard. And everything's by donation. They don't have a price on anything. And so if you see something you want, what are you willing to pay for it? That's what they'll take. I hope and I trust that as believers and as Christians that we will give them a generous donation and not just try to go find a bargain. But every nickel, again, goes to help somebody else. So I pray you take part in that. Did you want to say something? Kim, do you know what the number is so far of supplied water systems? Okay. Is it over 2,000? Last I knew it was around 1,500 or 1,700. Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting to know. But the bottom line is they have provided water for a lot of people. And the systems are $79. So the systems are $80, right? So let's say you go to the yard sale and you pick up a coffee dish and a little cup. And you think, huh, this would look nice in my cupboard. I'll give you $80 for it. Huh? Just a thought. Not putting anything in anybody's... Yes, I am. $80. If I buy something, it's going to cost me $80, all right, hon? Whatever it is. Just saying. Let's bless what God is doing. As much as I rely on your prayers, what we just talked about, they rely on your donations. Let's be generous, amen? Wednesday mornings, prayer right here at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 11 o'clock. Wednesday evening, celebrate recovery right here, where we deal with life's issues and struggles. I invite you all, I encourage you all to come. On Thursday nights, the Wolves do something in their house called Think Out Loud Thursdays. So there are things that we can do and be involved in, but please, I don't have to announce this, but look around you, look at your neighbors. If you don't know their names before you leave the place, get to know their names. If you can just remember faces, remember to pray for them throughout the week. Pray for one another. Why? So that you might be healed. That's what the Bible says. And so, amen. Those are kind of the announcements. This morning, I want to, for those of you who think I'm going to preach what I prepared last week, I'm going to give you more. Huh. I'm not saying we're going to be here a while, but I had a whole week to, extra week to ponder and to think about the message that the Lord had given me, and I'm going to give you just a very quick, I'm going to give you the last line of last week's message, and then I'm going to share with you the rest of the story. The last line that I had in last week's message was, you can't think your way to a closer walk with God, you have to believe your way to a closer walk with God. Ephesians chapter 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Man, I wish everybody wanted to hear my sermons that bad. That's all right. I act like that sometimes. Just ask my wife. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can't think your way to a closer walk with God. You have to believe your way to a closer walk with God. I wish that when I first got saved, somebody explained this to me. And so if you're new to the things of God, you're going to get something this morning that I wish I had a long time ago. And if you've been serving the Lord for a long, long time, I hope that I can give you some clarity as to how it is God wants us to approach Him and how it is that He wants us to minister to other people. Last week I had a title for this message. I called it The Mind of the Matter. This week the title has changed to The Heart of the Matter. It's important that we understand that God wants to have our hearts, not just our minds. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to share that with you. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That's a New King James translation. The NIV, the New International Version, says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And so basically, faith is what you believe in your heart and not necessarily what you understand with your mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, God, that when You get a hold of our hearts, our lives change. And so, Lord, as we go through this message this morning, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts and You'll change our lives. Help us not, God, to try to figure out what You're doing, but to just trust what You're doing. As You bless each one here today, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the issues that we as believers has is we always try to figure God out. Anybody try to do that? Well, God, how does this work? How does that work? And we can't always figure it out. Faith is what you believe in your heart and not what you understand with your mind. That's why faith is a substance of things that are hoped for, but evidence of things that are not seen. If you can see it, you can understand it. But if you can't see it, then you just have to believe it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. What's that mean? It means that we walk by what we believe in our hearts based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not by what we understand in our minds. It's so important. When we walk by sight, again, okay, I can see what's going on here, so now I understand it. So that's what I'm going with. Last week, our eyes saw a man fall on the floor. And our mind said, he's dead. I'm just being honest with you. But that didn't stop us from praying. You know why? Because we didn't want to walk by what we were seeing. We wanted to walk by what we believe, that God raises the dead. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. If we could get, you know, and that's such a simple phrase. You know, we throw that out there like, you know, throwing candy to children. It's, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. But yet, when something comes along that we see that disturbs our understanding and our thinking, all of a sudden, oh no, now we're walking by sight and not by faith. And I don't want to make light of the situation like we, that was very serious. And most of us go through some very serious stuff in our lives. Every one of us do. And if you haven't yet, you will. That's why it's so important that we have this understanding. We need to trust the Word of God and trust the Spirit of God and put our faith in Him rather than the circumstances that are all around us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What's that mean? Walk by faith, not by sight. Get your mind out of the way. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What's that mean? The way you think might not be the way it is. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What I've written there in the bottom, our own understanding is founded upon worldly thinking. Do you know that? Our understanding is based on our own worldly thinking. But when we acknowledge the Lord's ways in everything we do by faith, he gives us new direction for our lives. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He will direct your path. Don't lean on what your mind tells you. Lean on your faith. What you believe is right in God. Make sure that what you believe is right in God is based on his word. And his spirit always confirms what his word says. And so if you're walking, you know, we're encouraged to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, right? And so if you believe, okay, the spirit of God is leading me in this direction, if you're not sure, you can always look at his word and know, okay, this is the right direction, because the spirit and the word always, always are the same. But are the spirit and the word always what you understand? No. They're not always what you understand. That's why we're not to lean on our own understanding, but rather on the Lord. How do we do that? By faith. It's not a mind thing, it's a heart thing. Another favorite portion of Scripture. If you don't know anything else in the Bible, if you never read the Bible, and I hope you do, I encourage you to read your Bible. If you're new to it, start with the New Testament. Why? Because I want you to get to know Jesus Christ. I want you to get to know what the Holy Spirit's about. I want you to get to know what church life and Christian conduct is all about. You'll find that all in the New Testament. If you're new to Christianity and you start in the Old Testament, you're going to get about to the middle of Leviticus, if you get that far, and you're going to be like, oh, I can't, I don't understand this. It's out. Start with the New Testament. If you're mature in your walk with God, you understand Jesus Christ, you know, you have a good understanding based on God's word, not on your own thinking, then you can go back and you can look at the history of Israel, and you will find in throughout the Old Testament, the history of Israel, all of the things that Jesus fulfilled were demonstrated in the Old Testament. You have better understanding once you know Jesus. But this verse, if you don't know anything else in the Bible, look up this verse and keep this verse in your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, loving your neighbor as yourself is very important. Every part of this scripture is very important. But I want to focus for a moment on loving the Lord with your mind. It says heart, soul, strength, and mind. I looked up the words in that particular portion of Scripture. The word heart literally means the center of all physical and spiritual life. That's a place inside you. It's like the hub of everything. The soul is the seat of the feelings and desires, the affections and aversions, the moral being designed for everlasting life. I didn't intend that big space to be there, but life is eternal, so there should be perhaps a big space there. Strength, your physical ability, your force, your strength, your might. And your mind is a faculty of understanding, feeling, and desiring. Now, think about that for a moment, your mind. It's the center of your understanding and your feelings and your desires. How many of you ever came across, or you yourselves have had a situation where your feelings lie to you? That's why it's so important that we love the Lord with our mind. I want my feelings to come from him. You know what feelings I get from him? Peace. Joy. Hope. Doesn't matter what's going on. I want God to control all of that. I want to love him with my mind. Desires. Anybody's desires not godly? Anybody's desires worldly? That's why it's so important that we love the Lord with our mind, because our desires, he should be our desire. I know far too many believers or Christians or people who call themselves Christians who go to church or they read their Bible and they do all the right things. They spend time in prayer and all they're looking for is the blessings of God. Don't be that person. Seek God. Let him be the thing you desire most. Why? Because if he's in the center of your heart, you'll have all the blessings. You don't got to worry about that. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, if God is love, I'm pretty sure it's wrapped up in this verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, what I wrote at the bottom there, your mind understands what your heart believes. I want that to sink in for a moment. The things you believe, those are the things that you know. Those are the things that you act on. You live your life in accordance with what you understand. The things you do reflect your understanding of life. And guess what? That's what you believe. And where does belief come from? It comes from the heart. Your mind understands what your heart actually believes. And so here's the thing. We have got to come to grips with the idea that God does not think like we do. Everybody repeat that with me. God does not think like me. Most times I don't think like God. And God does not think like me. Which means my thinking's got to come from someplace else. It can't come from my own understanding. And so let me show you. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Seek what? Seek the Lord, not just his blessings. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. How do you know he's near? Anybody believe they know when God is near? I do. You feel him. You hear him. He's right there. Maybe he spoke to your heart this morning and said, "Hey, you know what? There's a church service going on over there in Geneva. I'd like you to go to that." And you did. And you did. Why? Because he's near. I hope you feel him near in this place. I hope as we were singing the songs to him that you felt him near in this place. I hope that while, you know, Bill and Carol were sharing and as Tila were sharing, that you felt him near. And even now, as I'm preaching from his word, you feel him near. I hope that you understand that he is right here. It says in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man forsake" what? "His thoughts." Why? Because our minds will lead us astray. Do not lean on your own understanding. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to" who? "To Jesus," to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and grace. "He will have mercy unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, I highlighted that, abundantly pardon. Anybody thank God for an abundance of pardon? Thank you, Jesus, for wiping away all of our sin. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my own wrong thinking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Let's back up just for a moment. We must come to grips with the idea God does not think like we do. It says it right there in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why is it so important that we come to Jesus with our hearts and not our heads? You can't get there from your own mental capacity. It's got to come from someplace deeper. Your belief in God has to come from someplace deeper. And that is in your heart. Look at what Ephesians chapter 17, verses 17, or verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Don't walk in the futility of your mind. I should have looked up the word futility, but just the way it sounds, I think that's a bad thing. We all agree that futility is probably a bad thing. Which means it's a bad thing when we live our lives according to whatever that bad thing in our mind is. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why? Are they alienated from the life of God? Why is their understanding darkened? Because they're relying on what they know in their own mind. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of what? Their heart. Because of the blindness in their heart. Now, we sang a song a little bit ago that talked about Jesus, open the eyes of the blind. And you know, when we think about that, opening the eyes of the blind, we think, oh, you know, there's a blind man, he can't see, and all of a sudden now he can see. But if you look into this verse a little bit deeper, where are the eyes of the blind? Not on the front of their face, but in their heart. And because they are blind in their heart, they are ignorant of the things of God, and their understanding is darkness, and they are separated from God. Why? Because they're trying to do it with their mind and not their heart. Is anybody, are you hearing me? You catching this? Before I came to know Jesus Christ, in my heart, I thought I knew the right way. Anybody know anybody like that? Me and God, we got this thing. I'm good. No, I don't need to go to church for any reason. I don't need to read the Bible. I'm pretty sure I'm okay. You're blind. I was blind. I was ignorant. Why? Because I hadn't opened the eyes of my heart that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. It goes on to say, who being past feeling have... And that's interesting. It says, who being past feeling, again, don't rely on your feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And what's it say in verse 23? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why do you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Because The old mind is corrupt. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Another one of my favorite verses, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. What's that mean? By the renewing of your understanding. Do not understand the world from your mind. Renew it. You want your understanding to come from the Word of God. You want your understanding to come from the Spirit of God, not from your mind. And so your mind needs to be renewed so that you now can think like God. Or at least more like God. Before I had opened my eyes, the eyes of my heart, and gave my life to Jesus Christ, my mind said, I'm okay. But once my eyes were opened to Christ, my mind realized, I'm not okay. Your mind understands what your heart believes. If you believe you're okay without God, your mind understands that. I'm good. But once you open up your heart to Christ, the mind of your heart to Christ, the eyes of your heart to Christ, you realize, I'm in big trouble here. And I need to put my faith in Jesus. I need to trust in Him. I need to walk by faith in Him and not by sight or my own understanding. It changes everything. Or it should. If your life has not changed since you came to Christ, keep going toward Christ because He's got a lot of work He wants to do in you. And so if your heart believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, your understanding will change. Your mind understands what your heart believes. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes. It doesn't say with the mind one believes. It says with the heart one believes. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I really believe this with my heart and not just my head? It's very important. Because if you truly believe it with your heart, there is nothing that anybody will be able to say to you that will convince you otherwise. But if you only believe it with your head, somebody will come along and show you a different way. That's why it's so important that we live by faith. Why? Because faith has to come from the heart. Belief in Christ has to come from the heart. Let me show you an example of this in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 38. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you shall." Now, baptism is all about, and please understand this, because there's a lot of different reasons why people get baptized, and they baptize their babies, and they do all this stuff, and God bless them, you know. But again, don't lean on your own understanding, but rely on God's Word. What does God's Word say about baptism? Baptism is all about a public confession that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's why you go under the earth, under the water, to identify yourself with the death of Christ. And when you come up out of the water, you are publicly confessing that I believe Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And that by putting my faith in Him, I too, though I shall die, will live again. That's what baptism is all about. And so this guy I believe he understood that. Well, what hinders me from being baptized? He obviously and evidentially had a genuine belief and faith in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead for his sins. And so Philip says to him, if you believe with all your heart, there's nothing that hinders you. And then the guy confesses, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip, it says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water and he baptized him. So Philip recognized that this man didn't just have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had a heart knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had a heart understanding and belief. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And with that belief, Philip baptizes the guy. If you go read that story, you'll find that right after that, immediately after that, a miracle took place, and Philip was all of a sudden, he disappeared from one place and showed up in another. Now our minds say, that's impossible, that can't possibly happen, right? According to our understanding, that whole beam me up, Scotty thing, no, that don't work. But somehow, that took place. My mind doesn't have to understand it. The Bible says it, and therefore I believe it. Why? Because my heart believes in God, in God's will, in His way. You come to Jesus Christ, you bring your heart. Because if He has your heart, He has the rest of it. I've said that 100 times when we're taking up the offering. It's like, you know what? God's not about your money. If you think God's about your money, then you keep your money because that's not what God's about. Does the church need your money? Yeah, we sure do. We can't keep the lights on if we don't. But God's not about your money. That's not what this is about. It's about your heart. And the truth is, if God has your heart, He'll have your money too. That's just how it works. But not just your money. He'll have all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind. Almost done. Look at this. There is a difference between heart faith and head faith. It's a big difference. Heart faith will save you. Head faith will let you down. Head faith says, well, that man shouldn't have passed out last week. If God was here, he'd have never passed out last week. Heart faith says, you know what? He passed out last week, and we trusted God, and God raised him up. Well, what if God didn't raise him up? Then my heart faith would go even deeper, and I would trust God that was time for Billy to go home. Praise God, it wasn't time for Billy to go home. Hallelujah. But somebody said, you know, what a better place to go when you're in the middle of a worship service, worshiping the Lord. Go from one worship service to another. Could you imagine that? Billy waking up with all these angels around worshiping the Lord. He'd be like, holy cow, you guys sound better than us. And if that's what God chooses to do, then I'm not going to take that away from him. Hallelujah. But heart faith is different than head faith. Heart faith will save you. Head faith never fully understands. You ever know that person that you've been talking to and trying to lead to the Lord, and they're just trying to figure it out, and they're just trying to figure it out, and they're trying to figure it out? It doesn't happen. I've said this 1,000 times. You will never figure out God with your head until you've sold out to God with your heart. I missed it. What'd you say? It's a process. Amen. It's a process. No, that's okay. I heard something. I just didn't know where it came from. I was in the middle of a blink or something. I don't know, but it is a process. You know why it's a process? Because our minds are in the way. We're always trying to figure it out, and you can't. Why can't you? Because you haven't opened up your heart yet. You will never figure out God with your head until you've sold out to God with your heart. That's why they say, oh, I see the light. Because all of a sudden the eyes of your heart are open. The blind man now sees. So why is this important? There are two reasons why I believe this is important, that we distinguish between heart faith and head faith. One of them is for a closer walk with God for me, and a closer walk with God for you. The sooner you get your mind out of the way and you let your heart do the work of believing and trusting and following, you grow. You grow. I had a crazy thought. I thank God I was so stupid when I got saved. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out, so I just gave him my whole heart. People wonder, why did he grow so fast in God? In less than a year, and I don't want to, this is God. I give God the glory. I just use myself as an example because I came to my mind. Within a year, actually within a month, I read the whole nurse. Actually, it was 3 days. But within a month of getting saved, I read the whole New Testament. God gave me an opportunity, sent me to Colorado. I didn't last there long. My heart was in Waterloo. Warning, do not take a Greyhound bus from Denver, Colorado to Geneva. It is a long trip, day and night. You know, when we drive out there in our cars, and that's what I did. I drove with some Fred in the car. It took us a couple days. We got there, but you see these signs, these cities, you know, Chicago, several hundred miles that way. Omaha, several hundred miles that way. This other big city, what is it, one with a B. What's that B one? Something out there, I don't know. Boise. Thank you. So many hundred miles away. Well, when you bring the bus back, you go to all those cities. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but God gave me an opportunity there. I was on that bus 3 days and nights. And I had my Bible with me. And I opened it up to the New Testament and read the whole thing. Why? I wanted to know God. I gave him my heart. I didn't want to just have a... I didn't want to go by what I thought God was. I wanted to know him. I had heart faith. Head faith says, okay, he died for my sin. I'm saved. I'm good. Now I can go on about my life and not worry about it because I'm okay. Heart faith says, you know what? I want more. I want to go deeper. His love is so awesome. I just want to be completely surrounded by it. And so I want heart faith because it draws me closer to God. When I read the Bible, I get revelation from it. It speaks to me. It's not just words on a page. It's life. And the other reason is to be more effective in soul winning. Those two things. Does anybody want a closer walk with God? Let me see your hand. Thank you. Does anyone want to be better at soul winning? Yeah, we all do. Here it is. Many Christians struggle to grow in God because they keep trying to fit God into our own worldly thinking, in our minds. It doesn't work that way. Many Christians struggle to communicate their faith because they don't feel they know enough. I have Time after time after time, I've run across from believe. Well, I don't know enough scripture. I haven't had enough college classes. I struggle to share my faith because I can't figure it out. You might be one. I'm getting excited. I know a lot of people who know they're saved, but they can't explain it. I ask the question all the time. When I run into people, you know, like when I go to these places like the jail or the Fatherhood Place or Family Hope Center, and I run into new people that say they're believers, I ask the question. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Do you go to church? Yes, I do. No, I don't. I used to. Okay, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. No, I don't. I used to. Huh? Whatever. Do you understand biblical salvation? I always ask those three questions. And that opens the door wide. And some people say, yes, I do. And I say, okay, can you explain it to me? And most of them cannot. And I'm not doubting their faith. I'm not doubting their salvation. I just want to know if you understand it with your heart enough to be able to explain it to me. Not with your head, because you can't figure it out with your head. And so many people try to go with what they know. Scripture, okay, I got this scripture. I got this. You know, I've been pastoring, I'm in almost completing 12 years now. And I'm embarrassed a lot of times that I just can't pull a scripture reference out. I can tell you what the Bible says, but I don't know exactly where it is. But you know what? I know people that would let that hinder them from saying anything about the Bible. You know what? My memory's not that good. Just ask me if I know your name. You'll figure that out real quick. But I do remember what the Bible says. You know why I remember that? Because it's in my heart. It's not in my head. You would never figure out God with your mind until you've sold out to God with your head. One more slide. A closer walk with God comes through believing His word with your heart and not with your mind. A closer walk with God comes from believing His word with your heart and not with your mind. The things that are in your heart, I could sit down with any one of you right now and you could share with me wholeheartedly what's in your heart. We can't. How many like to read? A few readers? Every word that you let your eyes run across on the page entered your mind. But what can you tell me about the books that you've read? You can only tell me the things that you allowed to penetrate your heart. That's why I'm not so concerned about knowing the exact scripture reference, and neither should you when you go out to lead somebody to Jesus. You talk about what you've allowed to penetrate your heart. How much of Jesus is in there? And if Jesus is what's filling your heart, that's what's going to come out. And when that comes out, other people take notice. And you do a better job of witnessing. An easier way to share your faith with others is to share what you believe in your heart about Jesus. That's in line, and I have to add this, that's in line with His Word and with His Spirit. Because some people get some misconceptions, right? I say some people, me too. I can get misconceptions about Jesus if I do it with my mind. And so I have to make sure that what I believe about Jesus lines up with His Word and the Spirit of God. That's very important. There's been, when I first started preaching, there were many times that I had this idea, okay, the Bible says this and this and this, and in my mind I'd have this whole sermon planned out, and then I'd go and I'd read the verse that I was thinking about in the text, and sometimes I'd find, oh, that verse ain't even in there. Sometimes I'd find, you know what, the way I think about that verse is wrong when I put it in the context of what it's saying. Why? Because I thought, you know, I had it figured out sometimes. And so you always have to rely on what the Word says and on the Spirit and make sure that your belief coincides with that. But when you share your faith, you have to believe, or you have to share what you believe with your heart and not limit your sharing to what you know about Him in your mind. You want to win souls? Stop thinking about it and share from your heart. I believe that's the reason why that verse says to love your neighbor as yourself. Because with yourself, it's real, right? Life is real. This is a real deal. And you need to be real with them. How do you be real with them? Don't tell them what you're thinking. With your mind, tell them what you know in your heart. I don't know a lot of scripture, Pastor, but I know that Jesus loves me. Good, tell somebody that. I don't understand the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and how the three of them can be one. That's okay. Don't worry about that. You keep trusting and believing in God, and He'll reveal that to you somehow too. And you'll know in your heart that it's right, that what the Bible says is right. The three are one. How's that play out? Well, I've got some ideas. In the end, we're not fully going to know until we see Him face to face. But I know this. I kind of put it... all right, I'm getting off track, but... I know that I'm more than one. You're looking at my flesh. Do you see my soul? No, you see my flesh. But I have a soul. It's in there. Do you see my mind? I'm speaking it to you, but you don't see it. Right? So I'm more than just one. I'm flesh, I'm spirit, I'm soul or mind, however it is that works out. So is God. We're made in His image. Okay, I get that. The three are one. I'm good with that. That satisfies me. I don't know if that satisfies you or not, but I don't have to worry about that because I know it in my heart. It's real. And so that's what this is all about this morning. I want a closer walk with God, and I trust that you do too. I want to do a better job sharing my faith with others, and I trust that you do too. But I want to encourage you. And this is going to sound crazy. And the reason it's going to sound crazy is because we think like the world. But when you go after God with yourself, and when you go after the lost to win them to Christ, stop using your head. See, that goes against worldly thinking, doesn't it? How many times have you said to your children, would you please use your head? No. Stop doing that when it comes to your faith. Yes, my love. Praise God. I'll share with you what my wife just said for those who couldn't hear it. She's talking about Tim Jones. You all remember Tim? God bless him. That young man, when he opened his heart to Jesus, he opened his heart to Jesus. And he told everyone he could find that would listen to him about Jesus. That boy blessed me so much. I saw joy of the Lord in him. I saw peace in him. And believe me, he had stuff going on. And we miss him dearly. If I could be that zealous about sharing what I know in my heart, I know I could have a greater impact on this world. And that's what we're talking about this morning. How close are you to Jesus with your heart? And are you willing to take what God has filled your heart with and share that with somebody else? Stop trying to use your head. You can't figure it out with worldly thinking. It doesn't work that way. Stand with me this morning. As I said, last week the title of this message was The Mind of the Matter. This week the title of this message is The Heart of the Matter. Why? Because I want to bypass your mind. That doesn't mean I want to brainwash you or I want to trick you into something. But I want you to go to a deeper place of revelation. And that's in the heart of the matter. Ask yourself this question: have I truly opened the eyes of my heart to Jesus Christ? Or am I just trying to lean on my own understanding? That's a very important question. And then let me encourage you to open up that heart. We are saved by faith. By the grace of God through faith. Faith doesn't come from here. It comes from in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you go much deeper than my thoughts and my own understanding. But God, you speak to my heart. And so, Lord, I pray for every individual in this place today. If we are holding the door of our heart closed, that we would, Lord, surrender to you and open it up fully. That you would come in. And God, that we would grow in you. And Lord, that we would be able to take what we know of the love that you put in our hearts and share that with those that are lost. And so God, today, if there's anyone here, and this is the first moment that they've chosen to open their heart to you, I pray that you rush in like a flood and you fill them and love them. If there's someone here this morning who's never opened up your heart, let me ask you just to very simply open up your heart and ask Jesus to come in. He will. And God, I pray that the impact that you have on each and every one of us in this place would be such that we would want to shout your name from the rooftops. That we would want to let everybody know how much Jesus loves us and died for us. Willingly gave his life for our sin and rose from the grave to life again. Let that, Lord God, come from the understanding of our hearts and not from our minds as you lead us each and every day. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody would like prayer, please come up. We will pray for you. If anybody needs a little understanding of how to open your heart, I would love to talk to you. But remember what I said. If you see somebody you don't know, go get to know them. Love one another, greet one another, and have a blessed afternoon. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're allowing God to work in your lives. God bless you all. Oh, thank you. Futility. Remember that word I stumbled on earlier? Futility. It means pointlessness and uselessness. What's that? Pointlessness and uselessness of your own thinking. Think about that. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Have a great day.